Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast. I'm Jodie Duval, and I'm a functional naturopath in Perth, WA. This is a place where you can expand your knowledge on how to optimise your health and realise your full potential. We'll have cutting-edge information with expert guests and having lots of fun along the way. Get ready to be empowered and motivated to reach your higher vitality and find your ultimate potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization, Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 non-profit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. We have cohorts running up to 2 times per year, and the next cohort is starting in September 2024. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
Welcome back, Kyle Vandeleest. So today, everyone, I'm talking with Kyle, and Kyle really needs no introduction. He has taken the peptide world by storm with his company, Level Up. And today we talk about the future of peptides in health. And really that means that we are talking about the global advancements, we dive into the innovations, the clinical utility, and especially around oral peptides, but also subcutaneous, and really how they can enhance our health and performance and for varying and different degrees. So Kyle also talks, and he did in her first podcast with us, talked about his personal journey. It's an incredible one, and a lot of his peptides are, all of his peptides, as we discovered at the end of the podcast, are really based on his personal needs, requirements, or family's needs and requirements. So they really come from the heart. They're made with complete need and requirement for being the best and really making sure that they are effective. So we talk about his personal battle with mold recently and providing valuable insights into managing and overcoming this. We also really dive into the impact of low testosterone on males and hormones, but also we talk about some of the key factors that you can use and utilize in regards to this. And we also really discuss a lot of action-packed practical tips and some of the cutting-edge knowledge. So really engaging, informative, and Kyle is just a legend. So I will stop rambling and without further ado.
All right, Kyle, back on the show after 4 years, I realize. This is incredible. 4 years' time. What a lot changes in that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4 years is, yeah, God, I'm not even remotely the same person from 4 years ago, let alone the business. So
I know.
Crazy how life changes. I'm a dad since then. The range has gone from 2 products, and we spoke about 2 in depth for half an hour, to now I think we're up to 22 products for the range. So, and likewise yourself, the clinic and your professional practice has expanded so much, and yeah, that's how it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. We're evolving and continually getting better and finding different ways to make ourselves better as well as our businesses, which is just incredible. So Level Up, if no one knows Kyle by now, but I'm sure you do, and we stock Kyle's products in our clinic as well, and I have been taking your products in various different ways for the last 4 years or more, actually, for when you were starting out. So we are here to, let's look at the expanse and the change of Level Up, and I want to sort of hear a bit more of your story as well. So, you know, we talked a lot about your history and coming into this field last time, and it was a beautiful, and I've had so many people comment on that particular podcast for that purpose, just hearing your story and the power behind it. But you know, let's talk about the next evolution of Kyle and how, you know, what's that looks like in the last 4 years.
Yeah, well, the first evolution and all of the trial by fire and the learning was, as if you listen to the first one, around my mom and the cancer journey and working at that clinic. And since then, it's like, all right, she's passed, unfortunately, but the learning continues. It's like, essentially, after that first podcast, mold became the biggest challenge of my life, and it has been for the past 3 and a bit years. So the you know, there's so many things that life throws at you, and you can get caught up in the negatives and all the challenges of it all. But ultimately, like, Level Up's range now has expanded so much because of my mold journey, because of losing my health the same way my mum lost her health. Well, great, it happened to me too. It's such a multi-system issue that mold can cause. You know, gut health is obviously the crux of Level Up as a business, and my sort of the naturopathic training is all around gut first, and all disease begins in the gut. But then when you're in mold, you realize, all right, if there is disease in the gut, which you can't actually remedy because of your environmental circumstances, what then? What are the following dominoes that fall? And for me, that was liver health, constantly elevated liver markers, sludgy bile. Tudka was the only thing that helped me get through that. But then the HPA axis dysfunction, the thyroid dysfunction, the hormonal lowering of my testosterone to getting like 80-year-old male levels. It was pretty bad time as a man to have a T at less than 300 in my 20s. So yeah, mold can certainly do that as well. And then the inflammation and the weight gain of that too sort of is it, no, I'm not asking for sympathy, but I have so much sympathy for anyone who's still dealing with mold, which seems to be so many people nowadays. I believe the rollout of like higher frequency things like Wi-Fis and the widening of the net of electromagnetic radiation stresses out mold, which causes it to proliferate. And Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt proposed that in the presence of electromagnetic fields, mold grows something like 4,000 times more than it would without the field presence. So I believe now that's why we're seeing a huge awakening to mold, because it wasn't, it was, it's always been around, but I don't feel like it's been as detrimental and has been ubiquitous as it is now. There's more than just the EMF, it's like fungicidal paints and all that as well. But yeah, mold's been the big catalyst for my up leveling and the development of products that ultimately helped me when I was getting out of mold. You know, I've been in and out of it, unfortunately, but when getting out of it, using things like the liver complex, the Tudka, using some different binders from other companies, and then just making sure that the diet is on point when you're in it, avoiding excessive histamine, doing sort of like an autoimmune paleo to sort of keep your head above water so the mold doesn't take you down really quickly. And then when you get out, really focusing on gut healing. So that's been basically the journey for the last 4 years. It's not been a fun one, but you know, it's all been very developmental.
Yeah, this experience, you know, experiential support creates better products. And I know that, you know, we are the wounded healers, really. And, you know, it makes us better. So as much as, you know, when we even spoke about in the last podcast, as much as it's horrible things to go through, it really does make us more experienced, more knowledgeable, and a better capability to create products or help support clients through the situations that they are, and the sympathy, you know, the empathy for what they're actually going through. Mold, yeah, I've noticed a huge increase since COVID. I feel like mold has been coming up in my practice way more, and it's one of the hardest things to treat, and it's presenting in chronic fatigue symptoms plus everything else. Yeah, so it's a tricky one, and I think with your products though, you know, your liver complex is gold, which we can move into soon. But so you've also created, and I know you've just mentioned this before offline, but there's this beautiful cheat sheet that you've created. So I sort of wanted to create a context around, you know, you're getting into peptides, the products that you create, you've got beautiful resources. We'll pull a few pieces apart today and look at, you know, some of your, you know, ones that you wanted to speak about, or one of the most powerful products that you want to. And then you're constantly, which I love about you, is evolving through all of this. You know, there's always new things that you're researching, bringing together, looking at what is happening. You know, so for one of these, you know, weight loss eras that we're in, you've created some beautiful products like Recomp, you know, around that supporting clients to not have the side effects of some of these powerful but detrimental medicines and medications that people are taking instead of. So I'll let you sort of guide the journey here, Kyle, into what you want to start with and create and talk about today. Yeah, go for it.
Sure. Well, I'll tie in what you've said with the finishing up the mold journey. One of the peptides that helped me the most was KPV. This is a tripeptide that has very powerful and beneficial effects for modulating the immune system. Really helps with sort of candida overgrowth, fungal overgrowth, but mainly the melanocortin system in the brain. I think I mentioned it 3 years ago in our last podcast, how beneficial that one is. But that is when I stopped taking that Remeron mold, it was like a huge detriment, and you noticed it instantly. And when you reintroduce it, it's like, okay, my brain's coming back, thank goodness. So that's one of the many peptides that I've tried now in the years of experimentation and biohacking. And there's actually being a lot of publicity being drawn to peptides now, which is a good thing and a bad thing. Good thing is like people understand, wow, these things are powerful. You look at the injectable ones with all the brand names that every single TV commercial in America is centered around, having been there and hearing all the side effect list of is Ozempic or Ruthotide or whatever the other ones right for you. Well, yeah, they might be, provided they're done in an intelligent manner. Like a lot of practitioners who I work with in the peptide space do utilize these drugs, but in a bioidentical manner, rather than the way most people are taking them is in mega doses. And it's kind of like if a guy wants to get on oral steroids, well, there's TRT, which is in a bioidentical hormone therapy, versus just the gym bro who tries to get their test levels up to 2000 and get big. Like, yeah, you're going to get the benefits really quickly, but it comes at a trade-off. And the same thing, the same mentality can be applied to these GLP drugs that are very popular at the moment. Similarly too, when guys do like a steroid cycle, if they understand the side effects of it and then actually implement intelligent supplementation alongside of that, like supporting their liver health, making sure that they are providing the precursor hormones or taking like a botanical alongside of it too, then the damage you're going to do by doing something super physiological is going to be mitigated. And the same thing can be applied to these injectable ones, like understanding that gastric emptying might be a problem. Well, we have herbs, we have nutritionals that can support gastric emptying, understanding that if you're not absorbing as much, you might need some support with a multivitamin. You might need to support stomach acid production. That's one thing that I've heard really dies off, and you can end up with gastroparesis with these things. So there's no magic bullet, but they're certainly powerful therapies. And that statement can be applied to almost all of the peptides that I've now got. The third cheat sheet that I made has like 30 something of them, and they're just the most common ones. The list of ones that are on the horizon is in the hundreds. It's insane. This is where modern medicine is sort of pivoting towards. And that's why I believe too that regulations are starting to adjust as well. Unfortunately, slash fortunately, peptides being regulated creates huge problems for companies doing it right and huge problems for companies doing it wrong. And the ones doing it wrong, good. There should be the case, because especially with the injectable ones, if they're contaminated or they have something like called LPS, or even heavy metals, like we talk about detoxing heavy metals and how certain childhood schedule things might be bad for development. Well, maybe you'd avoid them because of that. While these injectable peptides, you can give yourself substantially more metals from just running a course of a month of a contaminated peptide than you would from, say, eating tuna or, you know, one of the other big fish that might be high in metals. So it's good that there's some degree of regulation. What's bad about it is the fact that the regulatory bodies seem to be pretty captured in who actually makes the decisions, if you look at it. And understanding where the funding for these regulatory bodies comes from globally. In America, I think it's like 80% of funding to the FDA is from pharmaceutical companies. But in Australia, it's as high as 96% here. So it's very hard for any, and I believe of the 4% that are supplement. So like a lot of it's the Food and Drug Administration is from drug companies, but there's also the supplement companies that sort of make that residual 4%. But even those, like a lot of them actually now controlled by pharmaceutical companies too. I think it's like BioCeuticals is owned by one as well. So the landscape is changing a lot. And like, and conversely too, there are a lot of brands similar to myself who are popping up left, right, and center who are trying to do the right thing too. So there's this never ending battle between sort of big David and Goliath and big companies, small companies, ethical, unethical, that's sort of playing out. And that's definitely hit the peptide space. And the end result of that is the primary peptide that my company has been making since the very start. It was our first product, BPC 157, body protecting compound. the ubiquitous healer everywhere in the body that you might have a problem, it can accentuate the healing process. That has been scheduled in Australia, which has meant that we've been unable to sell it to customers in Australia for the past, where are we now, July, so 2.5 months. That's very unfortunate because a lot of our customers and our client base are people with severe like autoimmune diseases, things like Crohn's and colitis, who they use these products, be it GI repair or BPC standalone, to keep their conditions in remission, to keep their inflammation in control, even arthritis, like the Regenerate products used by a lot of people with degenerative conditions or arthritic pain, to keep the pain subsided too. So it's really sad that that has to go. I think a well-versed practitioner can find alternatives a lot of the time if those things go, which is good. But the landscape in Australia is evolving very fast and very much in the wrong direction, in my personal opinion.
And it's tricky when you find, you know, we have the same issues with herbs. You know, there's some very effective herbs that now we can't use because they have been scheduled, put aside to test, and are they going to be tested? And are they going to be left off? And then can we get them back? You know, so I get very bitter about all of this too, because it's like, well, we know how to use them, and the ones we're being scheduled to don't even study and know how to use them. So it's a tricky thing. But with the peptides, you know, I think there's always a circumstance where, you know, there's people in an industry that's doing the right and the wrong things, and then the wrong doers will ruin it for the ones that are trying to do it for the right reasons. In the US, Kyle, there's also the BPC that even injectable has been restricted, hasn't it?
Well, for vendors like myself or companies that aren't compounding chemists, then no, you can still buy them from just random online vendors, which is good if they're, again, purity report testing, metals and contaminants testing, but bad because, God, every day I see another two or three different companies popping up selling injectable GH secretagogues or semaglutide and tirzepatide. There's so many of them now, and it's like, well, I can't argue with the fact that this needs to be regulated when you see that. But at the same time, when they take away, it's not like those businesses were the ones that were regulated. What was regulated was the compounding chemists, the ones who were doing it right to the highest standards, the ones who had the inspectors come in every 3 months to make sure that they were done to standard. And then as a result, what you're left with are the companies that import everything from overseas to a lower standard. So yeah, it could be, it'll be interesting to see how it folds out, and hopefully we'll have another podcast within 3 years so we get a bit more of an updated follow-up to see how it plays out. But yeah, it might be a bit, it's very interesting to me and to you as well with the herbal stuff to see how the landscape unfolds. But maybe we'll pivot away from the legislative things about it, because I think I could rant for another 20 minutes about.
Me too. I like, get both of us on our soapboxes. We won't get off. Yeah, it's a tricky one, industry for me especially. But yeah, let's go into like the goodness.
The goodness is they only banned the one. The BPC is the only one that has been scheduled thus far. They have a list that they're looking at, so maybe things will change. Hopefully not. But that's the primary one. And the reason that got banned is because of the popularity. Andrew Huberman, Joe Rogan, Thomas Dallau, all these people with multi-million follower accounts with multi-millions of people following it were all touting the benefits. And then, you know, everyone all of a sudden wants to try this magic pill, this magic compound. And then, yeah, like, that was one of the reasons they actually cited, due to its increasing popularity, we are then therefore going to have to regulate it. So, I mean, great. I'm glad it's popular. I'm glad the GLP-1s are popular, because now we can open the gate to all these other peptides that maybe they don't know about or maybe won't get banned. Things like the KPV we mentioned before, ones like the anti-celiac lorazepam, that one's phenomenal. There's the thymosin beta 4 as well. It's very similar to BPC in its effects. In Australia, it's already banned too. But there are oral fragments of that which aren't, which basically give you the same benefit of the parent molecule TB4, and you can use as an oral capsule. There's GHKCU, the skincare normally is that where it's found, but you can actually take that in a capsule form. Level Up's made it orally bioavailable. We've actually just liposomed it for the first time. We've liposomed some peptides to try and push the envelope a little bit. So yeah, that will actually have really profound effects on stem cell activation in the epithelium. So actually bringing back the epithelial layer, like that's what GI repair sort of works on, but more of like will support the own your body's own processes, whereas this is an actual epigenetic switch that is activated with this peptide that can bring not only the epithelial layer of your gut, but there's a reason it works so well in skincare, is it has that stem cell activation effects in your skin and basically anywhere it can be administered. And there's a reason it's in your plasma and your blood because of that effect. It's got a very pronounced anti-aging effect for wherever it can be administered. So that actually might be my favorite peptide now. It's overtaken BPC because the more I look into it, the more amazed I am. So that GHK, the copper peptide, is definitely the top one to watch. And it's one that I don't think will get banned because of how many big companies are using it in skincare already. So
Yeah.
yeah, promising.
At the end of the day, it's like, a lot of people will, TGA, it's copper. Yeah, it's just copper.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a peptide version of copper. But yeah, I agree. Like, I've seen the most outstanding results from the copper peptide, more injectable side, because we didn't have the oral version of it then. But from a friend of mine doing a course of the copper and doing before and after photos, it was like, lines and wrinkles on the face looked completely different. It was actually incredible. So it was really good to see in that way an immediate results. Not immediate, but it took 4 weeks, but it was still much faster than anything else, and there was no other changes and variables. So I agree. I think this is one that we need to be looking out for as well.
Was that the injectable, did you say, for that person?
It was injectable. Yeah. It was the course. Yeah.
I really like the combination of having it administered in multiple ways, injectable, capsule, and topical as well. Like, however you can take it, the more ways, the better, because you're just going to distribute it throughout the whole body and it can only go so far when you take it orally. Like, it will have a local effect. Like, the majority of the peptides that you absorb orally, they are going to have a local effect in the gut first. So that's why it's perfect for leaky gut, for hyperpermeability and all issues in the gut when you take it as a capsule, just because of that pharmacokinetics of it. But for things that are distal, like an injury or something like that, then the injectables are really good. But also for like skin health from the inside out for your skin, like injectable is probably going to always be better than oral. But the way we're modifying it now, and I think other companies are working on it too, to do it similar to us, it will be just an oral capsule, I think, moving forward, because the copper, it can be very painful to inject for some people when you do it.
It is. I've done it, and it burns, and it's so sore. I'm like, ow, 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 ow. So yeah, it's uncomfortable, but you think, pain, pain for beauty. Well, oh well.
Think the only product we have that burns when you take it is the what is it, the brown fat activating, I've forgotten the name, really long chemical compound in our Total Recomp, causes a little bit of a reflux because it's essentially like menthol.
It is. Yeah. I'm messaging you going, Kyle, bit pepperminty, this one going down. But again,
Similar to how Gymnema works, when you put it on your tongue, it takes away the sensation of sweet. Well, that works systemically. Well, that the menthol ingredient, I wish I could remember it off the top of my head. Even if I had it in front of me, I'd probably struggle to pronounce it. But anyway, the menthol ingredient has that systemic effect for activating browning of the fat. I forgot the name of brown fat activation mechanism, but yeah, essentially it helps with browning of the fat, mimicking a cold plunge, cold exposure. So
Yeah.
that's one's in that one. Could probably talk about that more thing as I tangented off
Oh,
to
yeah. Copper
Recon.
to recomp. That's good. And I also have tried it. Well, I will try everything. And this is my thing. I think it's like you. We have to try things before we recommend them. So I like to try all of them and give them a good. Actually, I won't try the testosterone ones though. I think I'll leave that to the guys, but
Yeah, I often get women ask, can I take your testosterone product? I'm like, haven't had PCOS, haven't had hirsutism, and her androgenic alopecia or any of those issues, then maybe it would be okay for a short period, but don't take it too long because too much testosterone in women. Yeah, exactly right. Or acne history of that too. Yeah, there's two. I've been trying to formulate a women's health product, and my goodness, Jodie, what you do and how you understand it all. I'd rather work on a Lyme disease or a cancer product. I think there's more simplicity to it.
well, yeah, I guess, knowing it well now, it is complex, but I think as you work with each client, it's simple within the client, not just overarching how you're trying to create products. When you're trying to create it for a multitude of women, no.
That's why it's been 4 years and there's still no product. I'm like, oh God, I'll just put Vitex in it. That'll work. Oh no, whoops.
Yeah, but you know, if you give them skincare and it makes them feel good, that's your contribution to making women feel better.
Yeah, well, the Liver Complex and the Total Recomp, I think, are two pretty broad products because, regulating the blood sugar, supporting the thyroid health, and helping lipolysis with the Total Recomp, fantastic baseline thing that you can do before you actively even go after the hormones. Things like PCOS, like insulin-driven PCOS, fantastic for, all the glucose disposal agents and blood sugar stabilizers in that. Like, that in and of itself is a female health product. It's just not directly marketed, or there's some things in it that maybe make it completely overkill, like some of the peptides in it that suppress appetite. But then the total re sorry the complete liver complex, that is used in so many post cycle therapy protocols for men on steroids, but also women with acne issues. That one's been developed to work on every one of the conjugation pathways in phase two. That is pretty much the entirety of the goal of that product, and then to stimulate some bile. There's so many products out there that have, like, your silymarin and your, sorry, milk thistle silymarin and all the things that sort of stimulate phase one and phase two together. And I don't like stimulating phase one as best possible because I feel like that's already, with the toxicity exposures that we already have in our life, which is so many things, that's already cranking as hard as it can go. So I've never seen a product that, when I was trying to get rid of mold, I was like, okay, how do I get rid of it? The conjugation pathways and then quenching the intermediate metabolites of the liver. And that was the rationale behind it. Before it even existed, I had eight products. I was taking the glutathione, the NACs, the molybdenums, and then the artichoke, and then Tudka as well. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so tedious. My weekly organizer of supplements was almost full on every day just for the liver stuff, let alone the test boosting that I needed. So I'm like, oh, forget this. Fine, I'll have to make this product. So that's how Liver Complex came to be, because of the mold exposure and the elevated liver enzymes. So that's been really helpful for a lot of people, and I'm very proud of that formula. I don't think I need to change it, unlike some of the other ones, always tweaking them, like GI Repair's now on its fourth version from the first one. Because it now has that GHK copper peptide in it, like we just mentioned. Used to have copper citrate, thanks to your comments, from version one to version two, to balance the zinc level. So, but now, yeah, because of the copper peptide in that, it provides a significant enough amount of copper to not need the copper citrate by itself. So, always evolving the products and the range as needed. Like, it's usually based on my own health situation and needs. So, that's why now I've got, like, pre-workouts and creatines, because the body was starting to feel good enough to get back into the gym when my testosterone picked up. So I'm like, oh great, I could use a few little enhancements. So I got the creatine and the pre-workouts just released, and then things like the turkesterone, all the gym bro stuff, minus all of the negatives to it. Like, having been a consumer and I worked in a health food store and a gym, like, that industry is way worse than the supplement industry. Well, it is the supplement, but the sports nutrition industry is way worse. There's so many negatives to it, all the colorings and flavorings and unnecessary fillers and stimulants, that I'm like, all right, that's all well and good, and I'm sure people will like it for a while, but eventually they are going to run into HPA axis dysfunction. So how do we do this well? How do we do this better? And how do we leave people better off after taking the product than they were before they took it? And that's sort of the goal with those products. So
Exactly. And I think, yeah, creatine, I haven't tried for a while. Actually, I need to order yours in because I was going to try that myself soon. So I'm going to grab get that and then I'll feed back to you. But so back to the liver, and before we go through recomping properly, but back to the liver complex. Like, I've been taking the liver complex now for, I would say close to a year, on and off. So I will pulse it. But I went off it for a couple of months and I've gone back on it recently. And my goodness, it does make a difference to multiple areas of my body and feelings. And if I do have a sneaky drink or something, then I don't feel bad whatsoever. My body is clearing and supporting it. And with the DHM in it, with what you also sell separately, I had just, even just yesterday, I recommend this to my clients a lot when they want to be drinking and they still have reactions or they want to be clearing it effectively. She said the DHM, Jodie, is a lifesaver. So she used to vomit after one drink.
Oh, no.
So now I can actually have like one and I will not be sick. I will not feel unwell. It is clearing effectively. So I get this a lot with perimenopausal women. So it's the women's issues again, the complex stuff, but suddenly they can go from their normal life and then suddenly their life changes completely. So some of these supports really help women to make the transition. So it's nice. But yeah, let's go back to recomp because it's a big topic. Like weight loss is always going to be a big topic, but let's talk about recomp.
Yeah, sure. The total recomp was, yeah, because of the mold, I gained a little bit of puppy fat and some that adrenal tire that sort of is your upper thigh, sorry, your upper thighs around your waist and around your belly button. I think that, yeah, that's called the adrenal tire, so to speak. I gained a lot of fat from that, unfortunately, despite diet and exercise. And that's just because mold induces leptin resistance. That's essentially the crux of it. No matter really what you do, and if you're being exposed to it too much, short of starving yourself, which I definitely wouldn't recommend, that you are going to gain weight being in mold. So that's often a stealthily reason why people just do all the right things with the diet, with gym, with lifestyle, and they just don't lose weight, or they you gain it really easily too, is the other part to leptin resistance. So I've developed this product, and I will be completely blunt and honest. When I'm in mold, it still doesn't work. Like, this is powerful, but the mold needed to go for this to have the effects. And when we got out of mold, we're back in it now, unfortunately, because that's just Sunshine Coast reality. But when we got out in mold, like, it was ridiculous how quickly the weight dropped by supporting all of the processes that I could support in a 3-capsule serving for weight loss, which is, providing the precursor nutrients, things like B1 that help with fat burning, things like the GBB, which is a precursor to L-carnitine, having L-carnitine in it as well. If you're deficient in these things, then lipolysis isn't going to take place because these are the cofactors required for it. L-BABA is a fantastic thermogenic agent. And a lot of people take it and they notice that they get really hot from it. Well, that L-BABA is it's called B-aminobutyric acid. It is a mitochondrial uncoupler. And that, for the nerds, they'll be like, oh, awesome. But people have no idea. It basically prevents the energy being created in the mitochondria from going through to ATP and then stored. It uncouples it, and then you just release heat instead. It's a very inefficient process if you are trying to survive a famine or something like that. You don't really want to do that. And often that's sort of one of the long-term consequences I find when people are on ketogenic diets, is they end up with like a downregulated metabolism because they don't want to uncouple as much. Like, I definitely don't want to put people off that, but if you do it too long, that's what I find happens. But anyway, to circle back, supporting the thyroid too. I didn't put iodine in it because I feel like that's a really touchy one, similar to like Vitex. Either way, too much, too little, too much nuance. But things like coleus foscolis, I've forgotten what we call it now in naturopathy, what it got renamed to.
Coleus.
Yeah. I really have always liked that herb. I feel like it doesn't really matter where you are. Like, it can't push you out, hyper or hypo. It's a really good supportive one, as well as the selenium too. And then, yeah, I think there's cheaper ways you could go about it. Like, if I could pick one ingredient from that whole formula to support blood sugars, it would be dihydroberberine. Most people know of berberine by itself, but I believe it's only 2% absorbed, which makes it really good as an antimicrobial when it's acting in the lumen. But when you want that systemic effect, it needs to absorb better to get into circulation. And then it can have that hypoglycemic or blunting of your glycemic spike, your gly yeah, blunting blunting your glycemic spike. Sorry, got pretty tongue-tied there with that one. And then all the naturopathic ones I learn about in Endeavor, like your Gymnema, what was it? Grains of Paradise is another one in there, and yeah, chromium is an as a pre as a cofactor nutrient as well. So I formulated the hell out of that one,
I was
and
very impressed with that, and hence I had to try it, but more so for the ingredients that you can't get combined together in any other way. And dihydroberberine was one of those. I was like, yeah. And carnitine, and as you say, like all of them together created such an incredible formula. And yeah, you're right. It's like it's that supportive requirement where you need it. And also, I was using it with clients who wanted to come away from sugar cravings and, trying to make those bigger changes. I think, right back from the start when we were talking about magic wand, there is no magic wand, but it's about knowing how to support in the right way so then you can get to the goals. And there's not a lot of quality, good products and information out there. So from my perspective, I know you've done your research and I trust explicitly of what you're trying to provide for clients and consumers. So it's something like for me, I don't have to go out and go, right, let's go and have a look at each of these parts of the research for everything that you've put in here. I know you've done that for everyone. So, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the first thing we're talking about with semaglutide is if you did take something like this alongside of it, A, you wouldn't need as much semaglutide if you're injecting it or tirzepatide or retatrutide, but B, you're not going to be in a state that's worse that you're not going to be in a worse state than when you started the therapy because you are supporting the processes that might otherwise go down. Like the thyroid is constantly something that people who go on these things, their appetite's suppressed. It's not just from semaglutide, it's from like over fasting or even just not eating at all. Like your thyroid's going to slow down if you stop providing calories. That's just kind of the way it works. Even bodybuilders who go on a diet phase for competition is, again, I bring it back to bodybuilders because a lot of my clients are, they end up with cooked thyroids too because they've just been in a calorie deficit for so long that it's trying to shut things down. And thank goodness it does that. Like that's the keeping you alive. If you just kept your metabolism super high and your caloric needs super high while you don't provide that, then you're not going to last too long. So we've got a lot of contingencies in the body, and that's just one of them. And that's what is often not factored in with these other drugs and therapies that
Yeah.
people are jumping on the bandwagon of now.
Of course, it's only like one part of the picture always, and even with medication as well. There's never like, oh, well, we need cofactors and precursors to actually make this more effective. And also, what are the cofactors and precursors that are taken back out of the body? And how are we going to correct that? Well, no one's there to correct it, and then everyone ends up worse.
Exactly. Or they just go to Chemist Warehouse thinking, all right, I need something. I'll just get the folic acids and the pyridoxine HCl rather than the activated forms, which, depending on one's genetic profile, maybe those two things are actually making you worse. Or maybe you bought it off the internet some random place and they don't even put anywhere near the dosage in it. There's so many, like, I don't want to put people off trying natural therapies, but please just do your research and go for proper companies. Don't just do the ones that are $10 versus, like, I'll use an example, Thorne. They're very expensive, their products, comparative to other competitors, but they, exactly to the milligram or plus minus 5%, you are going to get exactly what's on the label. That's what we try our best to do with Level Up, and so far so good. There's never been a discrepancy. But other companies, those don't may not have those morals. It might not be something that matters to them, especially with the sports supplements. Like, honestly, a lot of these ones just put in amphetamine-like substances in their pre-workout so people really like it and get addicted to it. So just be cautious with your supplementation. See a practitioner too. See someone who knows these intricacies. Like, your layperson's not going to spend hours figuring out what form they need of the vitamin in a formula that has 30 ingredients. And if they did do that, then I'd say they're probably spending too much time, I don't know, unnecessarily, when you could just ask someone and get the answer in 5 seconds. So that's where we're working with a naturopath, the functional medicine coach, or any combination of those sort of modalities is fantastic and is always recommended.
Absolutely, shortcutting all of that. So, all right, let's talk about, we've talked about liver complex, we've talked about the recomp. What would be another one of your favorites to talk about next?
I'm going to talk about the test one because I want to share the impact of actually having testosterone levels as a man where they need to be versus when they're out.
Good. Yeah, need this.
Low levels of testosterone in men is probably one of the primary three or four drivers, I think, in male depression and suicide. If men have a very low testosterone level, that directly affects their mental health. Dopamine and testosterone are intricately connected. If one is low, the other will be low. You can lower your testosterone by getting dopamine addicted. Likewise, you can not feel reward or pleasure from having low levels of testosterone. As a man, and even women too, like, dopamine and testosterone are very important for drive, for motivation, for feeling good when you've achieved something. And, when my testosterone was around 320, I think it was, back in the peak of mold, it was the hardest time of my life. And that's saying something because, you know, I've been through a lot of personal loss and stuff in the past, but at least my testosterone levels were there. I was just fired up, like, all right, I'm going to do something about this injustice. Whereas when my test was low, it was kind of like a helpless situation where I just had no motivation to do anything. And when I did do something, I didn't feel the reward or the pleasure. And in if you're in a relationship too, like having low testosterone means low libido. Low libido often creates conflict and issues within that relationship dynamic too. So that's where I decided to do something about it. Having naturopathic training, I just went to Tribulus and used that, and that did a tiny bit, but I just was like, oh my goodness, I need to figure something out and something strong to bring this back and bring it back fast. So Tongkat Ali is one of the herbs that I think probably the primary driver in the formula. That's a botanical that is has so many clinical studies and so many health coaches as well as influencers, as well as like Stanford medicine doctors, you can read between the lines, promoting it. And it honestly worked. That was the single ingredient that sort of sparked my curiosity into testosterone, and that brought it back up into the 400 or 500s. And then I started looking at other things like Sustance Tubulosa, which not only helps with bringing your testosterone levels up, but it has adaptogenic qualities and it increases in men, which can be a double-edged sword, increases dihydrotestosterone, which in a young man is like, it's kind of like taking, how would I put it? If testosterone is like taking caffeine to get an effect, DHT is kind of like taking one of those pre-workout stimulants. You'll feel the effect and you'll feel really, really good, but maybe too high for too long is not the best. So it does increase that, but also having things to make sure that it doesn't get too high in the formulation, having things that decrease sex hormone binding globulin can be just as good as increasing your testosterone, because often men, their total testosterone might be okay. It's just their free testosterone, because of the sex hormone binding globulin, might be too high.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the direct consequences of mold, is it skyrockets your SHBG and then increases aromatization, which is the process of basically funneling testosterone through to estrogen, which happens in a physiological level under normal conditions. It's required, but in the presence of mold, as well as endocrine disruptors, xenoestrogens and soy and all these other things in excessive quantities, it can happen too much. So mold does that, as well as the mycotoxin called zearalenone, ZEA, that is directly estrogenic. And that's one that I had that was really high and definitely affected me in a lot of ways. So he is probably the most important hormone that all men are probably aware of and they want to optimize. So Tongkat Ali, or the Botanabolic formula, that one was created purely for the purpose of bringing it up, but also modulating the binding globulin and also working on a few different mechanisms. Like one of the ingredients is an extract from horny goatweed called Icarin. And that is, you know, by itself, it's as strong as Viagra as a PDE5 inhibitor. And for men, like blood flow and coagulation issues and fibrin is another issue with mold. Not just mold, but some people have really high levels of that and their blood's not flowing properly. So nitric oxide boosters are really important and beneficial. Things like L-citrulline. I've forgotten, you probably have some off the top of your head for blood flow, like maybe gotu-cola as well. These botanicals are really beneficial for men too. But they're more for the blood flow, and combining them with things to increase your FSH and LH and then subsequently increase your total testosterone was really beneficial for me. And something I'll always be passionately outspoken about is, as a man, please test where your levels are at by blood's fine. You don't have to do any of these special urinary tests like a Dutch test or something like that. There's utility to that, but the bloods tell you enough as a man about your test levels and most of your hormones that you can definitely implement a strategy. Where would you use a Dutch test over a blood test, Jody? Mainly for women and hormonal issues, or would you just go for bloods primarily, or both?
Yeah, so I'll actually always test both because I want comparison. So I'm an investigator. So if I want to make sure that both tests are actually being tested correctly. So I will always do a double check with all different testings that I do. But yes, I think bloods, you're right, do give enough. I will test a man's Dutch test if they ask me to, but I don't necessarily recommend it. And with women, it's more so for fertility issues. clearance, knowing where aromatization is happening, PCOS, and any other issues that they've seen that they've been told. And most commonly, they'll be told you're infertile, you're unable to fall pregnant, and then we test Dutch, we clear some things, we open up some pathways, and we decrease certain levels, and then boom, they fall pregnant. So it just gives more exposure to different pathways and different mechanisms. So, but with men and testosterone, I totally agree. I've had so many clients over the years, they come in depressed and they come in really struggling with life. And I'm like, have you had your testosterone levels checked recently? Oh no, no one's ever tested my testosterone levels. I'm like, oh my gosh. I had a client who came in who had a testosterone level at 4 total.
Oh no, my goodness.
Not 3,
wow.
4, like low.
That's
and
insane.
He was off work, couldn't do anything. And he was extremely depressed, you know, vertigo, all these symptoms that had come through, blood pressure. It was horrible. And then finally, you know, someone had just tested it, and then he could get the treatment he needed and go there. But I generally see most men, I think 10% of men, I see a decent level of testosterone, but all the rest, 90%, low.
Yeah.
Really sad.
Well, there's a variety of factors that play into that. Too many to list probably within a 10-minute time period. But yeah, like honestly, if you're a man, you need to get that tested. The younger the better too, because if you have it low when you're in your 20s, then you're probably not going to be in a good position in your 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s. Like maybe it'll just stagnate and you'll just have a really rough 20s. And then again, why should you have to do that? That's when you're meant to be in your reproductive prime. That's when you're meant to be creating your for your future life and have that drive. If you're a man and you don't have that drive, trust me, I've been there. It's not a good place to be. You feel like almost a failure of a person, and then you just end up spiraling. And dopamine detox combined with testosterone boosting was really the two things that broke me out of that spiral and broke me out of it quickly, and then ended up being revolutionary for like, all right, I need to turn it on today. I'm going to take some Mercuna and I'm going to take some T-Booster, just like I did before this podcast. Actually, I took the brain enhancers to get the dopamine going, uridine monophosphate and L-DOPA, the one that's banned in Australia.
You get all the banned stuff. I'm like, hey, Kyle, hook me up.
you'd be amazed how much you can still get from iHerb. But anyway.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, taking that and then just making sure that the T levels are always maintained. If I stop taking it, maybe that like a month and a half, it will drop back down again, and that's a little concerning. But I know that's only because I'm living in mold and I still have exposure to these toxins still. Actually, when we went over to America, I felt fantastic, and I only took methylene blue before flights. That was the only supplement I really bothered with. So, and that was just to mitigate the damages. Actually, I didn't only take methylene blue. I took some of John Lawrence's nasal sprays, which were a completely different experience to regular supplementation.
Yeah.
If you're aware of his Zen Mist, then yeah, if you know, you know. If you don't, then wow.
So, I think I saw you post something on that recently, but I've been meaning to try some of his products because they've fascinated me for a while. His suppository products, his Sandman, I'm like, boy, you're brave. Like I would be not, I don't know how I would go, but I'm interested to try.
Yeah, I haven't tried those ones yet myself. So,
methylene blue is also a powerful one. And I think the key here is like the combination, and you're really looking for the best combination for yourself at the time. You know, yes, you're going through mold. Yes, you're going through low testosterone. Like, what do I need for now to support me? And it may not be forever. It might be just the moment, and then you're evolving, and then you're going to the next part. So it's that evolution of health, but also what you're needing at the time, and not overdoing what you don't need at the time as well. I think it's all really key. So
That philosophy is like the Hysteresis product I made. That was my band-aid. That was my life jacket when I was drowning in mold. Histamine intolerance was a huge issue and driving me feeling terrible. So I didn't want to take the over-the-counter histamine blockers and things like that that end up creating stomach acid issues. So taking things like diamine oxidase, DAO from porcine extract, quercetin, coleus foscoli, PEA, luteolin, skullcap, all those mast cell stabilizers and the cofactors was phenomenal. And I constantly get, funnily enough, from a lot of carnivore people who eat a lot of histamine, I get a lot of really good feedback on that one. But that product for mold was the life jacket one. It's the only one that I don't think is particularly root cause in the range. Apart from the sports supplement ones, they're not really doing a whole lot apart from making people feel really good. Then again, the Ready Up has methylated B vitamins in it. It has electrolytes in it and adaptogens too. So maybe it's part of a protocol. It's just branded for sports supplements too. So yeah, anyway.
I think the histo, I just want to come back to the historesis because I really love that formula as well. And I find, I think, yeah, they can be band-aids, but I think it's also a bridge. And I use this analogy in a lot of clients when I'm trying to get them off other medications and other things. And it's a, you need a bridge somehow. And sometimes the, it can be a stabilization of the immune system that actually is required at the time. And it does, like there's mast cell stabilizers that can help support long term to retrain the immune system function. So I think, a powerful histamine modulator, I use that a lot in clinic because otherwise people are using other things to control that and they're not able to live their life. So it becomes a mental support issue as well. So yeah, I really, and I think that yours is one of a kind. The Historesist is something that I really love using as well. So, and I don't say these things for, I'm not, no one can pay me out in terms of like, I don't get sold on anything other than a love for a product and the effectiveness of a product. And I've been behind you the whole time. And I think that you do some incredible work. And the products that you're coming through with is just amazing. So, yeah, I can't say thank you enough as well.
Thanks. Just wait till you see what's coming soon.
And that's the thing, you always like keep me on my edge. And I'm like, oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Like, tell me which one's the next one. But yeah, fun, fun, fun. Can't wait.
I'll sneak peek it. It's a nootropic and brain health product with liposomal peptides. And then you're not going to see the ingredients, but there's skincare up there too. So yeah, stay tuned. We got awesome things in the pipeline. Plus, moving the business abroad has opened up a whole world of possibilities for what we can do now we're out of Australia too. So
That's really exciting. And yeah, I think we could have another one on brain and skin maybe, because I think brain health and support in this time, day and age after COVID, there's a lot of inflammation and there's a lot of things that people are realizing that brain health is needing to be supported in multiple different ways. So maybe that's one for the next one.
yeah, well, my dad's getting early Alzheimer's signs. So I'm like, nope, I'm doing something about it. And there's always a why behind the products, apart from maybe one or two of them, like PEA. No, there was a strong why behind that one. They all had a why. So I'm trying to like think, maybe there was one that wasn't. Nah, they all have a reason.
Which make
Anyway.
them products. Oh, incredible. So Kyle, I'll end like this. So what are Kyle's five or 3 to 5 tips for living life how you should? What?
Don't live in mold. Take it from
Yes.
me. Do not live in mold. Number one, have really healthy relationships that help you grow, that foster your evolution. And if someone is making you stressed all the time or keeping you small, don't keep them in your life for, unless they absolutely have to be, or reevaluate your relationship with them and set boundaries. That would be another big one. And self-experiment, try things out for yourself, see how you go. Don't be scared to do things because it's outside of your comfort zone. That's not just in supplements, that's just in life. And you will get very far with those three things, number one being my most important.
I agree. I love that, those three. And I think stepping outside comfort zone can be the one of the most hardest, and even relationships as well, and even moldy houses, moving out of them. But we'll equally say they're all difficult, but you find so much benefit when you look back at these things and you go, well, I should have done that earlier, or I should have done this. And never does someone regret growing. So yeah, incredible. This has been a real treat, Kyle. Thank you so much for your time today. And I really appreciate all your knowledge and your work with creating really beautiful quality supplements and helping people. So thank you.
Thanks, Jodie. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Yahoo. So I think, well, actually, do you want to mention codes and stuff? So we could we'll link it to the podcast. So we could do we're going to do a code I think, and a cheat sheet access, so we can have that available when under the links in the podcast. So, and I think everyone knows where to find you. Should we mention that?
Yeah, sure. Level Up Health, LVLUPHealth.com, and Level Up Health on Instagram is where I'm most active. I'm absolutely terrible at Instagram, so there's not much content often, but I'm still there. I'm around. Send me a message if you have questions there. And the cheat sheet, we'll make sure that we have a link for that in the show notes, because there are so many peptides and too many indications to cover in an episode that is as diverse as ours. If we want to do one purely on those, it would almost be like a masterclass or a lecture than it is a casual podcast conversation. So I'd rather people educate themselves on the peptides through that cheat sheet. Now, it was a labor of love created for a summit that I think I just want to share that as much as I can, so people can try these things and see what works best for them, and figure out which peptide might be best for their condition if they have a desire to try them. A lot of them are sold by my brand, so that's like the that's 22 for why it was created. But a lot of them as well, like I think 80% of the ones on that cheat sheet, like no affiliation with any companies, it's just for information purposes. And there's plenty of vendors online who you can get injectable peptides off if you're interested in doing that. It's a little extreme for some people compared to taking a capsule, which can be a little extreme for some people too. So there's levels to this this health game. But yeah, I really hope people find benefit from that one. And what do you want your code to be, Jodie? Revital 10?
Yeah, let's do that. The
All right.
workings in the making, guys. Yeah, no, that's perfect. And yeah, we'll put all that in the bottom of the show below. But yeah, so thank you so much again, Kyle, and I will chat soon. I can't wait for the new one to come out, or I'll be straight onto it.
Thanks, Jodie.
All right, see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.